Hi everyone, this is Brooke James. Welcome to The Grief Coach. If it's your first time listening, I'm so glad you're here. And if you've listened before, welcome back. Today, I am so excited. We have with us Ron Gura, CEO and co-founder of Empathy. Ron, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you, Brooke.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this conversation. Just to give the audience a bit of perspective and to be able to place the conversation, if you can give them a little bit more background about you, who you are, and tell us about empathy.
Sure. Well, I'm a guy from Tel Aviv who, like many of your listeners and interviewees, experienced loss himself, but thought at some point that there's something weird about this, well, perhaps the largest single consumer sector that is still untouched by any type of innovation and any type of software engineering, and wanted to do something about it. I'll tell you more about empathy in a minute, but in general, I'd say it's the friend you wish you had when you lose someone, and we're trying to take technology and services and inject them into places that people would need emotional and administrative support of winding down someone's affairs. Mm-hmm. About me, I'm a father of two awesome daughters and married to Michal, my wife. I'm a serial entrepreneur and an operator. Previously, I co-founded a social commerce company, The Geese Project, that was acquired by eBay. I spent a few years at Fortune 500 companies like eBay and PayPal and WeWork and venture capital firms, and had different experiences building products. And it was really this mission that attracted me the most to go back into the arena and start a new company. And I'm really excited to tell you more about empathy and our mission to help families deal with loss.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear about it and that we can tell the audience about it. It's, you know, people who've listened to the podcast before have heard me talk at length about how this is a space that needs to be disrupted and for so long was so taboo and like shrouded in secrecy almost, and often shame, that people really didn't feel comfortable talking about it. There are so many wonderful companies who are looking to innovate in different spaces in the area. But can you tell us a little bit more about what you're hoping to achieve with the launch of Empathy?
Well, mostly relief, I think, is what we want to offer. I think there's a lot of ways that technology that we use day in and day out to do all sort of things like structuring information and capturing documents and storing them securely and collaborating with family members and talking to experts and automating processes and fighting bureaucracy and managing tasks. We use technology for that every day. And for some reason, we're not using it for some of life's most challenging moments, which is when you lose a loved one. So in one word, I'm really looking to achieve relief for those families, the recently bereaved. And that's it. That's all of us, because as you know, loss doesn't skip any of us. And we think empathy is built for everyone in that way. When you need us, when you lose a loved one, you should know there is help and there is hope. And there is someone that is offering support and aiming to take some of the burden away. That's not just what we're trying to achieve with this initial launch, but really trying to build a category leader for this unspoiled category that is not getting any love, any innovation, any of the digital transformation that any other sector I can think of in American consumer, just, you know, business reality has already gotten so much support and love and software engineering codes supporting the users and edge case scenarios of that. So unlike a lot of other solutions specifically coming from technology, this is not about the fastest, the easiest, the simplest. We don't get to be number one tool for this and that. Mm-hmm. We are not a magical concierge that is going to take everything and make it go away. We can't promise any of that. We promise and commit to the messy, to the complicated, to the human, to the complex we can offer to be with you mm-hmm. in the days, weeks, and months, and offer more and more relief, taking more and more of the burdens from you by saving you time, money, and stress using technology and services.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that really is wonderful, because I just know from my experience, when I've experienced the loss of my dad, but then also other family members, just you're so upset and sad that having to deal with the logistical pieces. And for a lot of people, you're learning about it as you're going through your loss. You're learning about probate, you're learning about healthcare advanced directives, you're learning about, you know, legal systems, if you have to like sell a house, like all of this stuff that is really crazy, messy, complicated while you are mourning someone you love. It sounds like you're focusing both on, you know, some of the emotional pieces as well as the logistical. I'm curious if you're willing to share what, obviously some of these themes are universal, but you're based in Israel and you're building something for an American consumer. So what has been most surprising to you that you've learned about how the differences between how two cultures handle loss?
Sure. It's not new for us in Tel Aviv to build consumer products for the US. It definitely requires a lot of getting yourself up to speed on the differences, mm-hmm. but also yeah. having that outsider approach is sometimes helpful in looking at a problem and trying to, well, not take no for an answer, really. Like really just not saying, oh, there's no way to do it, so there's no way to do it. No, there must be a way. Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with legal tech and compliance and every jurisdiction having their own definition of an executor or a probate or even next of kin to some extent, it's exactly that approach, I think, that is much needed. And we're mm-hmm. hoping to leverage that outsider approach to a good place. The company, as you know, is based both in New York and Tel Aviv. The main differences are, well, it's almost the opposite. In places of the world where you have less diversity around religion and just a smaller country, it means that there's going to be a monopoly on some of the, or at least less competition, or on some of the immediate arrangements, most more competitive fields like a funeral. Mm-hmm. Cremations is not something you even do in Israel, less than 1%. Another big difference in many countries in the US is just the foundations of having a self-administered process. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you need to update the government, the social security, the authorities that someone passed, and moreover that you are getting a fine if you're not telling them, mm-hmm. that is ridiculous.
That not how it works there? They do it for you?
Yes. Well, they wow. know. First off, it's the healthcare is there's a public healthcare system, mm-hmm. so obviously, and there's no it's a single state, and the whole thing is smaller than Jersey. So again, the comparison is going to be so different. But right. and there is a nonprofit that is handling funeral. Well, there is no estate tax, and that is changing, not just the. It's not really changing the taxation. As you know, estate tax is not something most people pay in the US. It's mostly for high net worth individuals. Mm-hmm. But having to just map all your assets and know all your debts, just that process alone, of course, if it needs to be in a probate process, moreover, that alone is something that is a second job by itself for the vast majority of American people. So if you're not a high net worth individual with a grief counselor, an accountant, an estate lawyer, and every service provider you need, and of course you have a will and a trust and a password management tool and guardianship documents, most Americans don't have any of that. Why would they? And like many other things in the US, it's self-administered. If you think about taxation, this is the TurboTax for estate settlement. Someone needs to do it themselves with pen and paper, basically. Mm-hmm. There is no go-to. like same way people mostly use TurboTax and not go to an expensive accountant because they don't have the luxury of having enough cycles or bandwidth at the first place to afford one,
mm-hmm.
or resources in this case. So if you think about an estate that is, you know, 5 or 6 digits, most people will not even consider going for a full-fledged estate lawyer and accountant and grief counselor and whatnot. They might go to a lawyer around the corner. They might get some help, but the whole process, not just the taxation, the whole process is something that you need to do yourself. You need to call AT&T. You need to cancel the credit card. You need to do the immediate arrangements in probate and grief and funeral and thinking about where to look for the will and how to inform others and searching for documents and dealing with debts and bills. Like, there is no go-to, mm-hmm. offline or online, that is doing all of that. And we're trying to do a lot of those logistics because many of them could be automated to the point that you just save time.
Right.
And hopefully money, and definitely stress, because not knowing what to do is one thing, but also not knowing what can wait is another. And that's exactly what we're trying to solve for, that personalized guided navigation,
yeah.
that is telling you, you know, you're lost in this overwhelmed, tangled maze. And we tell you, look, get some in-depth knowledge to help you navigate the maze of loss, but also let us automate a lot of it. Anything you don't want to do and we can do for you, we'll do it. We'll help you get benefits you deserve. We'll help you deactivate accounts. And technology is really most suited to do a lot of these tasks. It's financials, mm-hmm. it's taxes, it's calculations, it's liquidation, it's mapping assets. It's really classic for software to be overseeing the process.
Yeah. No, and that's so great because I just remember for me, so my dad died 2 years ago and I was the one who was the power of attorney. So I was like trying to figure all this out and my sister and I were co-executors and to do it and then like to call and you're calling a bank to close an account or whatever you're doing and they are like not nice or empathetic or helpful and they'll be like, well, can we talk to him? Like, he's still alive. I'd be like, no, he's upstairs, like dying. Like, you can't talk to him. And so it was just like, there were some people who were like very lovely who I dealt with and very kind, but even whatever you can automate. And I think like as a millennial, like I want to be able to automate things and make less phone calls and all of
why
this.
Why would you want to talk to them? Like, what is the
you
point of that conversation?
To. Right.
Like, let's say I'm AT&T and I'm Comcast, I'm whoever, and you want to cancel your dad's account. What's the essence of this conversation? There's not going to be an upsell. There's not going to be an NPS out of this. It's losing right. time for everyone. Like right. it's wasting time for it. It's a terrible conversation. There should be, and we'll definitely act on it, a new way to talk to the bereaved. There should be a standard. People can't say you have to talk the phone. People have to have modern tools to make things more accessible. People should not be allowed to upsell the bereaved
mm-hmm.
and exploit them. And look, like many other financial services in the US, deaf and dying is also in a way built to serve the wealthy. And that means in a way that it's also built to exploit and upsell the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go around that. That's exactly like how people are selling loans and credit cards. And if you really think about who's gaining from this situation, it's a handful of entities and service providers that are looking at the bereaved as a singular transaction that is never going to see them again, leaving their families overwhelmed, overcharged, completely confused, and mostly just underserved. It's 2021. Like, I want to cancel someone's account. Why are we even talking about this? I'm the executor. You're whoever. I just want to click a button. If you need proof for who I am or who he is, ask for it. But why are we talking about this over the phone? It's ridiculous.
No, that's a great point. So going off of that concept of that this industry has historically like exploited a lot of people, and it's stressful and all of this. Can you talk about one thing I think is really cool that you guys are doing as part of the product, is that you're really taking not only this practical administrative approach, but also practical emotional approach. Can you talk a little bit what you guys are building there and why that was important to include as part of the product?
100%. So we're coming from technology. We know what we know, and we know what we don't know. Grief is a whole world of emotional support, and that is much needed. It's an important process for everyone that they need to deal with. And we wanted to partner with the best. Maybe you've seen it last week. We updated that David Kessler, perhaps the most renowned grief expert about grief and loss, is joining Empathy as our chief empathy officer to really lead anything about compassion and care, content. For us, that means also a lot of audio, like you. We use that form factor to lean in because we find it more soothing for most people in this situation. And we have just hours of hours of hours of support that is accessible at the palm of your hand, and people can get that in a contextual, personalized fashion. So if you're going into the house for the first time, that's a soundbite you need right now with your sister before you go in. If you're looking for the will, and for some reason, like many other executors, you feel guilty for looking, for making that shift from talking about feelings and love and emotions and funeral to talking about lawyers and taxes, you shouldn't be guilty. You shouldn't be feeling guilty. Like, you're doing your job. You're doing what your father wanted. You're looking for his will, literally.
Right. Yeah.
So a lot of that contextual content refined by experts is waiting in the app for the right moment to offer relief. And in general, these are just two things that we don't think you can decouple. From a startup perception, you would either do a Headspace for grief or a TurboTax for estate administration. Why would you do both? But I don't think you can decouple the two, to be honest. As focused as we want to be, grief is made harder by logistics, and logistics are made far harder by grief. One of the reasons that you can't get out of the sofa and do a lot of this is because you don't feel like it. I don't want to get a death certificate because it will certify the death. I don't want to go to the funeral because I have to see it's true. I definitely don't want to go and talk about money with my sister. And I just don't feel like doing any of it. And I have a pretty good excuse. I just lost someone. So I'm just going to soak in my grief. Mm-hmm. So it's that angle of how to channel that emotion to productivity in a way that is empowering. We don't get to be a perky, delightful, fun app. We get to be an empowering app. Mm-hmm. What we do is about empowerment. That's the positivity we find, and that's the mission that we are basically taking upon us. That's the journey for empathy. Can we empower families with technology? Can we add transparency? Can we save them money? Can we save them time using technology? That's the question. And we have a lot to prove at this very early stage, and we're just getting started, but that's the high-level thesis I'm convinced in. I'm sure technology can help save you time, money, and stress in this lack of alternative and confusing world where all of us are looking for technology to solve exactly the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. What are some suggestions? One thing that when I was speaking with you and your team before we recorded was, and I love because the first episode of this podcast is about things people said to me and why they were not helpful. And because I just like couldn't believe some of the stuff people were saying to me. And I thought, what a disservice that I had so many friends who meant so well, but like didn't know how to talk to me and didn't know what to say that was supportive. And some of the stuff they said, I was like, that was terrible. I can't believe they said that. But one thing that you include in the product is how to be a friend to someone who's grieving and how to support someone. So do you have any practical tips, some of your favorites that you can share with the audience here today of ways that people can be helpful in supporting someone.
Absolutely. I think there's a long list of things not to do.
And there is.
I know you're talking about those in the episodes, and it's definitely important for people to be less judgmental and more sensitive to the bereaved. In a way, I think we are a grief illiterate society. So when you're grieving, you make others, well, everyone really, just feel really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And because what you really do when you tell them I'm in grief, you remind them that they might lose someone as well, or you remind them someone of they just lost too. So they want to help you kind of get over it. And you can't, you can't just get over it. It's not it doesn't have a timeline, this week, next month. And sometimes they'll even go and say, oh, it's been a year, you should be over it. And they really do that to just make themselves feel better. They don't know what to say. They're not to blame. Most of us don't know what to do in these awkward situations. And if it's the first or even second time you're seeing a friend in this situation, you just want them to be better. And that's really, for me, the shift from sympathy to empathy. Mm-hmm. Are you just acknowledging the fact that I'm in pain, which is helpful, and thank you for the condolences and appreciate the flowers? Or can you show up for me? Can you be a friend? Can you take something off my plate? Can you really put yourself in my shoes? I'm not saying you have to. The app is trying to in many ways as well. It's really difficult because nothing can really replace that pain. But also, do you realize I have 570 hours of work on average to do now in 18 months of a median journey to wind down someone's affairs? So anything you can do to actually show up and help, mm-hmm, is tremendous. Can you shift from I'm sorry for your loss to what can I do? Or just even give your shoulder to someone, just be there. Mm-hmm. So there's so many ways. I'm going back to your question about culture differences. In Israel, which has most of the secular and religious people are Jewish in a way, then has very unique ways to deal with loss. And we're learning a lot about how the Islam and Christianity is dealing with loss and other religions. And it's just eye-opening to see more and more cultures and diversity and just have unconditional support for people. It's beautiful to see all the different insights from history of religion, which is very smart and much attuned to people's pain. One of the things you do in the Jewish culture is that you sit with someone for a whole week. Mm-hmm. It's the Shiva. It's extremely popular for even secular people to become more religious when they have life transition, when they're firstborn or when they lose a parent. For 1 second,
that's true.
They're all very orthodox even. So when you show up to someone's Shiva, you take their dog out, you clean the house, and you show up with homemade food. Mm-hmm. You don't bring flowers and a letter. It's something that it's easier to say when it's a country smaller than Jersey, because you can just drive and show up. Mm-hmm. When the country is so big, it's really a challenge to show up and be there for people. But if we only remember that that's going to be more helpful than acknowledging the pain. So long story short, I think anything you can shift from sympathy to empathy, not just because of the branding, like seriously, like that's what people should be doing. And I don't really understand what's even good at this sympathy. Like is it really helpful to just say, I know you're in pain?
I think it's more helpful for the person who's saying it. Because empathy is hard. Yeah.
Right.
Empathy is really hard for a lot of people.
It's very hard. Yeah. And sympathy doesn't change anything. I think if you put yourself in someone else's shoes, like demonstrating empathy in any way, then on the other hand, that has the potential to radically transform not just that bereaved person, but really society. If you can put yourself in someone else's shoes and ask, how would they want to be perceived right now? Am I supposed to tell them weird things that everyone say, like, at least he had a full life, or at least he did this and that? Like, there's no at least. There is no, don't try to minimize the loss. Doesn't matter if it was 40 or 80. It doesn't matter if it was a car accident or he died happy on his boat. It just doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's about how can we come together and just, especially if you're face to face, how can you hug someone? How can you show up for them? How can you give them a big kiss? How can you really just be there? Be just sit there and listen to them talk about someone or do whatever they need right now, including the dishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I was very moved when people would come with food, they would come and clean. We had people who gave money for a housekeeper, like stuff like that, that's practical and helpful versus like flowers are so beautiful. People who've listened to the podcast have heard me talk about this. I love flowers, but if someone dies, you get 10 flower arrangements at once, send them in a month, send them after the funeral. You know what I mean? Send them on a milestone, like the person's birthday, the death anniversary. That's more fine in my mind, but right after, you feel like you're like drowning and you need like practical assistance or just like someone to come and sit with you, which this past year with the pandemic, like obviously people have not been able to do. Do you have any, just, I think this is an interesting thing to talk about. And I know that so many people are vaccinated now, so restrictions are lifting, but for someone who can't be there in person, what are ways that you've thought about, read about, experienced that are helpful for someone to be supportive remotely?
So we definitely added quite a lot of paths and steps into the app because of this awful year full of loss. And there's a lot of helpful content today, from anything on how to run a hybrid or completely virtual ceremony, mm-hmm. all the way to how to handle a probate court that is closed. And there are so many new advancements on that front as well. So mm-hmm. right now, suddenly some regulators are accepting digital signatures, and digital processes in general are improving thanks to the need, basically. Yeah. But if you think about this year, it's one of those weird times in history where people acknowledge the inescapable. They also contemplate end of life decisions that usually they're trying so hard to deny and postpone mm-hmm. or avoid with that aversion in mind. And for everyone who lost a loved one this year, unlike the COVID itself, just the feeling of losing a loved one doesn't have a solution. There is no pill for loss. There is no vaccine for the despair that we're feeling when we're losing someone. No one, Pfizer are not gonna show up and help us with that. It's on us. And it's on you as a friend to show up and help. Mm-hmm. And if everyone had their friends and family so close and everyone would demonstrate empathetic approach and compassion to life, you wouldn't need software engineers to build tools to make it streamlined, to put structure behind loss, because that's really all you need. You need an army of people to show up, hug you, and do all of this for you, because you're the one who just lost someone. And sometimes they lost someone they loved as well. So it's really hard for them to be the one talking to you about this. And it's so complex. That's why there's not going to be one solution or one need. It's a very broad spectrum of areas that we just need to get better at. And I think because of how people use today technology and how savvy consumers are and their expectations, of course the solution is going to be a utility that is packaged inside a native app.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love what you said about if people were more compassionate and empathetic and just showed up to hug you, that we wouldn't need things like this. But humans are complicated, so we do need things like this.
And they're busy.
Yeah. Okay. I would love if you can share, where can people find the app? Can you just confirm, is it for people who right after they've lost someone, or do you also assist with the lead up to a loss if it's an expected death? It's more after.
Right now, our focus is on when you lose a loved one. Mm-hmm. And then we are here to help with everything that comes next. So we guide you as an app to do everything you need and provide all the support along your journey of loss, giving you all the tools you need to navigate, but also prioritize all these different tasks. So you can find that on empathy.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also find it on the Android and Apple app stores. And you can see that, of course, from empathy.com. We'll text you the app and make it simple. And you can find us on social media and give us feedback or ideas or suggestions. We'd love to hear from you and your audience.
Yeah. And I think when you're going through something, which so many of the listeners are, that's when you have the ideas and you're like, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had this. Whereas after, once it's been a certain period of time, your brain, in a way to protect you, you kind of forget how hard all of this stuff was. So definitely would encourage listeners to reach out to Ron and his team if there's anything that you think that they can be covering if they're not. Ron, this was a really wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for putting this taboo topic front and center. I think it's such a denied area, not just the emotional, but also the practical. If we talk about it more often, if we'd had this difficult conversation, if we'd embrace the inescapable and sensible and just be there for each other and understand this and not be afraid to talk about loss, then like we said, it's going to be easier. And it's because of, well, any form or content that is putting this front and center is already a part of the solution. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you. That was very kind. All right. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. You can find us online at www.thegriefcoach.co and on social at the_griefcoach. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.